Hotel. Echo Hotel. Message 4. 437. 437. 9 good.
Welcome. to the Insomnia Stream. Conflict Avoidant Edition. I'm your host, of course, Devin Stang. You know, it's often said that history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. It rhymes! But actually, sometimes it just repeats itself. Or it's hard to know. It's hard to know. When has the cycle ceased and begin anew? And how much of it is just one long ass-fucking? let me elaborate. You know, there's a lot of talk lately. A lot of talk lately. About the... the endless number of pajits requested by the ruling class must have more pajits. The never-ending trail of pajits leading into the Western countries. And people say to themselves, especially from parts of the West that maybe haven't been subjected to, chronic levels of pajitism, they say to themselves, well, I don't know, this sounds a lot better than these fucking El Salvador gangster MS-13 Mexican drug lord narco whatever. It's just a different flavor of shit sandwich. And they say to themselves, oh, maybe this isn't so bad. Lots of smart people in Silicon Valley seem to want these guys, and usually we don't want these guys, because when the ruling class wants illegal immigrants, it's because they want slaves to mow their lawns or clean their pools or raise their kids. But that's not what they want the pajits for. They just want them for slave labor in other ways. High IQ slave labor. So how bad could it be? How bad could it be? You know, it's funny because race realists, who I've been calling bigots and short-sighted, nihilist. They've been talking about race and IQ. I remember back in the, the Stephen Molyneux, he used to talk about race and IQ. And we told them, oh, you're full of shit. Everyone's the same. But then some Jews said that we're not all the same, actually. And race and IQ actually is. And now I believe it. It's the only thing I believe that there's a difference with. But, so we can take these slightly higher IQ immigrants. It'll be better. It'll all be better. And people in the West, America specifically, because that's basically what we're talking about, right? We're talking about Elon Musk and the other tech bros requesting infinite pajits. And Donald Trump saying, that sounds like a great idea. And this different flavored shit sandwich, it's a new item on the menu. So people are like, I don't know, let me try it. Let me at least try. Maybe it's not as bad as they say. I mean, it's funny because they don't realize you don't have to, I mean, they act as if it's a binary. Well, you have to either have unlimited illegal immigrants coming from south of the border, or you have to have unlimited immigrants coming from Southeast Asia and the subcontinent of India and Northeast Asia. You have to do that. Who's going to work at all the places? Who's going to work at the places? We all know Americans can't work at places. But anyway, a lot of people who live in other parts of the world who have been subjected to this, this is a familiar song. You know, that shit sandwich has been on their menu for a long time. It's like, you know, for a long time, Americans, we got to revel in the fact that we were the only ones that had the McRib at McDonald's. The whole rest of the world, they were like, ah, they got the fucking McRib. And when they finally got the McRib, I'm sure they were very disappointed. Well, now it's our turn to get the McRib. The shitty thing is, it's exact, like I was talking about how history doesn't repeat itself or rhyme, and maybe it just keeps going. Like nothing changes. It just seems like it's rhyming or that it's repeating. Is it really repeating though? If it's like on, like if it's a record that's skipping, but like that's the whole record. Yeah, you know, it's not actually that it's skipping. It's just that there's only one groove. An infinite loop, is that really repeating so much as it's just the way that it is, the way things are? And I say this not to be cryptic, because I'm about to play a bunch of stuff that's going to explain all this stuff. But I'm a little bit in shock. I'm a little bit in shock. From time to time, I do research on something, and I'm kind of surprised at like how exactly, you know, I'm speechless. I'm a little bit speechless. If I'm sounding a little bit mysterious, it's because I don't know how to really put this into words. This discovery of mine. So I guess instead, I will just play. I'm gonna play a clip here from a time long ago. You know, people acting like this is all a new problem. The Pajits entering the West and fucking everything up. Or at least the possibility of that happening, right? It's almost like that. You know, everyone thinks on Twitter that this is like a new conversation that we're having. This conversation's never been had before. The talking points that you're hearing all the time, these are all relatively new. But then you watch a video from 1973. You know, 50 years ago, 50 fucking years ago, 50 fucking years ago. And you play this video, this documentary, and it's like Twitter with a video filter to make everything look like the 70s. So without further ado,
It's a tragedy for Britain, a tragedy for the British people, and in particular a tragedy for towns like Southall. The reason for this is in the future, it was hoped that these people would integrate with the British, but there's no hope of that at all. And this can only result in the future that ghettos will set up all over the country.
50 fucking years ago. Now what he's talking about is, England has subjected itself to the same poison that we are being fed by Elon Musk. We don't have to imagine what would happen if we took on infinite Pajits. Apparently, England beat us to it. So we can just look and see what happened there. You see what happened after World War II? Same exact arguments, by the way. Across the board. After World War II, there's a labor shortage. Oh, my God. We got to have more people to work at all these factories after the war. We got a severe labor shortage, guys. You know, especially in manufacturing. You know, in construction. You know, our industrial base has taken hit. We got to rebuild after World War II. There's a little town, I guess like a suburb of London, or part of London. I mean, it's all kind of molded together, right? Southall. A lot of industry in Southall. It was very white, blue collar for the most part. And, they needed workers. And I guess it was jobs that white people weren't capable of doing, you know? Jobs like working in textiles, you know, real easy jobs, you know, blue collar type jobs. So what they did is they recruited people from South Asia, India and Pakistan specifically, to fill in these labor gaps. To fill in the labor gaps. And this happened fairly quickly after World War II, around 1948. It's when they basically open up the floodgates. And so lots of people from India and Pakistan, Bangladesh, a little bit later on, begin to flood into the UK. They had a big gasworks factory in Southall that employed a lot of these people, a lot of metalworks and, you know, manufacturing type stuff. Like I said, a lot of textile type stuff. There was same arguments, same exact arguments, a lot of higher wages in the UK. And unfortunately, a lot of the same problems that go along with that, they're the remittances. Meaning that a lot of the people from India that would come, you know, they're coming from India. They're coming from a shithole. And they're going to London, essentially, and getting, you know, slave labor wages for London, which is like a lot of money for India. So the same kind of thing would happen. Instead of a bunch of Pajits packing into a house that they rented for a ridiculous amount of money in Palo Alto, and sending their money back to their families in India and slowly bringing them, you know, one by one back to America, as, you know, similar. In fact, exactly the same. It was a bunch of Indians that would pack themselves in a flat in London, Southall, and would send their money back to India and slowly bring their family to England. And so you had the same as the exact same thing. The exact same thing. In fact, to give an idea of the demographic shift that took place in Southall, here's a graph here. You'll see that in 1945, basically, now this graph, the colors, I wish they were a lot different, so I'm just going to tell you by where they are. That first line is total population. That top line, that's total population. So that's why it goes from, it looks like about maybe like 45,000 back in 1945 to close to 90-ish thousand in 2020, right? And the next line below that, the one that's going, well, straight down, that's the share of white people in that total population. So as you see, in 1945, the share of white people is 100% of the population. That's why they begin at the same point. And then it slowly starts to drift down. Around 1960, it really starts to take a hit. And by 2020, well, you're a tiny percentage. You're way down at the bottom there. Now, the next line, that scary red line that goes straight up, that's the percentage of basically that's Pajits. Think of that's the Pajit line, that's the red line. And yeah, it's kind of the opposite thing, right? So in 1945, zero Pajits. But by 1970, you've got over 20,000 at a time when the population of the town was 60,000. So that shot up pretty fucking quick. And you'll see that there's a little intersection, right, when the Pajits outpace the whites, and it's right around 1970, we'll just say 1973, because a lot of our clips tonight are from 1973, and it looks like that's about right. So starting in 1973, over 50 years ago, Pajits were outnumbering whites in Southall. So this isn't like a new, oh my God, did you hear that the number one name in England, a baby name, it's Mohammed? Well, did you hear that in 1973 there were more Indians than whites in Southall? So that number starts to shoot up, and it's a big chunk of the population by 2020. The last line, that's other. So who knows what they are, but funny enough, other, overtook whites around 2010. So even other, just randos, outnumber the whites beginning in 2010. So this guy here in this clip I just played, he's talking about that intersection in 1973. When whites are just apparently noticing that, wow, holy shit, we're outnumbered. Pretty quick, too. Because while this all kind of sounds like ancient history to a lot of us, 1973, I mean, this guy, look, he looks like he's, I don't know, maybe in his 40s in 1973, right? So this guy potentially was born in the 1930s. So when he was a kid, he was 0% Pajit. In fact, a decade prior to this footage, it was rising at an alarming rate, but it might have seemed manageable. So he's grown up in a white town that is now where he's outnumbered. In 1973, over 50 fucking years ago. Let's see what maybe some of the other residents might have to say about this.
Well, the simple fact of the matter is that we do not have sufficient houses, jobs, and schools for our own people, let alone immigrants, be they black, brown, yellow, or green. It simply boils down to a question of numbers.
Ah, yes. That old argument that seems to have worked so well, that's why we use it, right? Because it works so well. The implication that I'm not racist, that's why I threw in all the different colors of the rainbow when describing the people that could be moving here and it wouldn't matter to me. They could be purple, green, yellow, or chartreuse. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's about housing. It's about there's resources. See, I can't make the argument for whatever reason based on the fact that we're not the same people. I have to come up with other reasons. That's an economic problem. Well, that doesn't seem to have swayed anyone. Doesn't seem to have swayed anyone. That graph didn't seem to be affected by him making an argument about economics. About how, the housing is going to get really expensive. We let all these Indians in and all the houses are going to be taken up. Housing prices are going to go up. I mean, you hear this exact argument from people in America, right? Oh, bringing all these people, it's going to drive all the prices of the houses. Look, that's all true. But that doesn't seem to bother anybody. Apparently, that's not a big deal, especially if you've got an entire generation of people who their retirement plan is their real estate. You know, their house doubling in price. Oh, no. wish that didn't happen. Let's see what else. Surely there's other people that have something to say about this. Again, this is an entire town that was entirely white as of, 15 or so years prior to this footage.
Well, of course, there are far too many immigrants in this country. When will the public wake up to the fact that you cannot put a quart into a pint bottle?
It sounds like she seems very pleased with herself coming up with this line. That, there's just not enough room. There's just not enough room. Now, that's not the kind of argument that would really work in America because, like endless space in every direction, basically. But, I guess maybe it plays a little bit better when you live on an island. But, it doesn't seem to really have changed anyone's mind, right? There's not enough room. Oh, quick, everybody, stop the mass immigration! This lady says there's not enough room. We better stop. We've made some severe miscalculations here. Apparently, there's not enough room for all these people. There's just simply not enough room. We better... Someone shut down the border right now. Apparently, we're going to run out of room. It's So that didn't seem to have been very persuasive to people. Well, what about this couple? They seem to, they're like a nice older couple, right? They've probably lived a long time in this area. They probably watched their children grow up in Southall. Right? They probably lived their whole lives in this part of England. I mean, they're as much a part of Southall as the pubs, the monuments, the streets. They're fixtures.
About 12 or so years ago, there was very, very few people in Southall who were prejudiced. We did everything we possibly could to make these people welcome and help them when they first came here. But as there's been more and more come into the town, we've said to the authorities, please, no more. We're full up. Still, they keep coming in by the hundred. Today, there's very few people in Southall who are not prejudiced.
We hate.
And unless something's done about this quick, that prejudice is going to be sheer bloody hatred.
Well, it sounds like for your wife, it already is sheer bloody hatred. I do like how she's like, we hate them. Just, yeah. See, she gets it. She gets it. Let's not beat around the bush. We hate them. But once again, it's you're arguing with the people doing it to you. You're arguing with the people who this is their plan. They anticipated you not liking it. It's not that they're unaware. If they gave a fuck about what you thought about it, they would have put it to a vote. You know, it's like you hear a lot of, you know, the English nationalists say, you know, we were never asked. That's true across the board. That's true across the entire West. And the reason you were never asked is because every white person would feel as these people did. Or at least enough to where it would never, you know, you'd never get a majority to be like, yeah, that's great. Let's, why not? Why not? Why not fuck up a good thing? Sure, let's invite a bunch of non-whites into our countries. What? That sounds exciting. I'm getting really bored of everywhere I look, there's white people. Let's try to spice things up. Now, very few people would, and there'd probably be some people like that. In fact, if I, you know, if I was emperor, I would ask the public just so that when there were people that said, yes, we should do that, we could throw them in the pit. We would know, okay, so you're the subversives. You need to go in the pit. But even with the subversives, the vast majority of the people would be like, no, fuck that. I've seen India. I've seen it on the BBC. Doesn't look great. Don't want it here. So they're talking to the authorities as if like this is something that they're just unaware of. As if it's just this accident. This oversight. Oh, you mean the citizens of England aren't on board with this? Ah, fuck, we really made a miscalculation there, Nigel. We should probably recalibrate. We need to rethink this whole thing. Turns out people don't want this to happen. Now, something to pay attention to also is just like, look, just the attitude. Do you think that if you were, I mean, even if this is still in the genetic memories of people living out there, even if this is still like an instinct that you can't get around, you think that if you were to get man on the street interviews like this, even if you were to find like that 5% remaining whites in Southall or the, you know, or maybe the neighboring areas and ask them, even the ones that felt as these people did, they won't even say it on camera now. They won't even say it out loud. Part of it's fear, of retribution, obviously, if you're in England. All right, there's very real consequences to just saying something negative about mass immigration on social media. You do prison time. But you'd have the same hesitation from a lot of Americans who, you wouldn't go to jail. Would you maybe lose a job? I don't know, maybe. I guess it depends. Would you want to work at a place where you had to pretend to like getting demographically raped? Would you want to work for a company that would fire you for protesting your genocide? Is that really a part of, is that a machine you want to be a part of? Is that a machine you want to be a cog in? I don't know. I guess to some people, right?
This is a film about race. That does not mean that this is a film about hatred, for the word discrimination does not mean that. Since the war, the people of this land have seen it change almost out of recognition. One of the biggest changes has been the massive inflow of hundreds of thousands of colored immigrants. With them, they have brought new and widely incompatible cultures, social customs, and habits. Sometimes, prompted by particular circumstances, large numbers of them have arrived at once. Strangely enough, no one, not even the government, either knows or is prepared to admit the precise number of immigrants who are here, or how fast their numbers are growing. There would seem to be about 2.5 million immigrants currently in the country, and one prediction for the year 2000 suggests that 1 in 18 of us will be a colored immigrant.
Oh, you starry-eyed optimist, you. He said that, some predictions say in the year 2000, 1 in 18. Well, that works out to be, I did the math here. That works out to be about 5.6% of the population, when actually, by the year 2000, the number was 7.9%. So, you underestimated the issue. You underestimated the issue. And notice how a lot of the same sort of things, right? The government doesn't want to get put a number to it. They don't want to admit exactly how many people are here. Same thing in the United States. They've been saying there's 11 million illegal immigrants in this country since I've been alive. We all know that's impossible. And in fact, the United States, it's actually way easier to get demographic data than it is in England. Yeah, that's always, anytime I've tried to research that, it's not, I mean, they don't break things up by race like we do in America. Canada's even worse, but they get a little tricky with that shit because they don't want you to know. And again, if they gave a fuck about what you thought, you know, why are they hiding it? Because they don't give a fuck what you think. It's not up to you. It's not up to you. Never was. You see, you're still playing as if there's a social contract. You're playing this game as if they're upholding their end of the deal. They're not. You're a sucker. You're a sucker. You're the guy who's being loyal to a woman who cheats on him 3 times a day out of some misplaced sense of honor. That oath has been broken. That contract is null and void. You're just operating off of muscle memory. Or sleepwalking, one of the two.
Now, if the dispersal were as thorough as this, perhaps things wouldn't look so dismal. But even now, it is not thorough at all. The people of the city of Nottingham know that. Their city map shows large villages of coloured people, solid areas where discrimination is mutual through total geographical segregation. Now protected by laws, under which it seems the immigrant may not win but can't lose, this alien population thrives and prospers. And all this to the bewilderment of those whose sons and daughters fought and died for a land they thought their own.
Same arguments, right? Well, if my grandparents in World War II and they were storming the beaches of Normandy, if they had known about this is how it was going to, they wouldn't have. Well, it's the same thing. They were saying this 50 fucking years ago. 50 fucking years ago, they were saying this is bewildering to people who fought and died. This, in fact, this isn't the grandparents. This is the people. This is the actual people that stormed those beaches who were bewildered. These are the actual people who were dodging rockets in Southall during the war, who thought they were doing this out of some kind of ethnic interest and ethnic loyalty. And as you see on these this newspaper here on the screen, let's look after our own first. Same argument. What do you mean first? Because again, there's this implication that we're responsible for the welfare of others at some point. As long as we take care of ourselves first. No, fuck them. How about that? How about fuck you? How about fuck you? How about let's take care of our own, period. No first. In fact, that's why America first is kind of a bullshit line, isn't it? It should be America only. Because it's the same thing. It implies that, oh, once we take care of our problems, which who's defining that? Is it the libertarians that tell you that your life is actually way better than the royalty of 100 years ago because you have a 50-inch fucking TV? Is that who's defining, like, what's acceptable living conditions for us to be like, okay, well, you've got an Xbox. But you got an Xbox, so we can go die for Israel now. Look, I understand strategic allies. I understand having close relationships with other nations and countries. I mean, fuck the show here. We're white people in general, I think, the pro-white community online, it's international. It has to be. It has to be, because none of our governments are backing us up, and we're in this alone. But in a perfect world, we would have our own nations, and sure, there'd be, again, there'd be relationships and cooperation and all that fun stuff, but yeah, that's where the obligations really end. Especially these obligations that for some reason never cease to the third world. You know, not countries that are partners, not countries that are peers. Not countries where there's any kind of equal exchange of anything. Just bottomless pits. Bottomless pits, and no matter how much money you throw into these pits, people keep crawling out of them and into our countries.
Southall is part of the London borough of Ealing. The area has a large immigrant population. So large, they bus children to other parts of the borough to preserve racial balance in the schools. So large that on a sunny day, it's difficult to remember just where you are.
Again, 50 years ago, They were doing busing just like we did here in America. They wanted to spread that diversity around. If diversity is our strength, I mean, you might as well, you gotta share that puff puff pass. Don't be greedy with all that diversity. Send those Pajits over here. ''73, on a sunny day, it was hard to know what continent you were on when you were in this part of London. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? And it's true. Look at the footage. This is 1973. 1973, taking a nice little walk through Southall, and this is what you see.
If we are obliged to have these immigrants, why can't they be dispersed to other areas, especially to the areas of these MPs and the people that welcome them to this country?
You know, again, same kind of an argument, but you're not obliged, first of all, so it's a false premise. Stop playing on the fucking premise that they give you. You don't have to take these immigrants. You don't. And trying to be cute and saying, ha-ha, well, I bet if we were to send these immigrants to the neighborhoods of the people forcing these immigrants on us, they wouldn't like it very much. Well, of course they wouldn't. That's why they're not going to send them to their own neighborhoods. That's not like some big own, obviously. Yeah, right. That's why they're not there. Because they're lying. I get it. You're not comfortable. Again, there's this layer of civility. This layer of civility that's been slathered all over fucking white people. This slippery, slimy goo of civility. They still think they can win battles with rhetoric. Rhetoric and ideas and charts and data, rationality and arguments. Now, the ruling class, they're just not aware of what they're doing. They just don't, they got in over their heads. They don't know what they've done. But again, you wouldn't even hear these sentiments coming out of the mouths of most people in these areas today. Even though those areas still, I mean, they look more like this. Ah, yes. Jolly old England.
Well, as a small shopkeeper, the shop's inspector tells me the law. I'm breaking the law because I don't have a notice up as to my early closing day. And when we asked him, what about these Indian shops? They're breaking the law all the time. He publicly stated, I know these people are breaking the law, but I'm afraid to take action against them in case I'm accused of racial prejudice.
Well, look at that. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Now the cops are afraid to bust child rapists out of fear of confrontation. They're conflict avoidant. I don't know if it's uniquely Anglo, but it's certainly pronounced in the Anglo this avoiding conflict. You know, a more formal term for this that's too long to put in the title is conflict avoidant martyrdom. It's not like an official psychological term, but it effectively describes what's going on here. You have people, again, they're coated in this civility, this disgusting, sticky civility. And in the past, they were rewarded for avoiding conflict. So they come from a long line of people who avoided conflict. Unless ordered to engage in conflict by the state. So they've been avoiding confrontation for generations, these people. To the extent that they will make significant personal sacrifices, often to their own detriment, to avoid getting into a confrontational situation. This is where you get the extreme politeness, over-accommodating, self-censoring, not saying the obvious thing that everyone's thinking. And that's, again, this is without the gun to the head, you know, which you also have in England. You kind of have, you also have a big brother hanging out over you. But even with if you were to strip that away, and it's not limited to England, like I said, just it seems to be very pronounced in the Anglo, which many of us look, myself included, we are descended from that. And you see it in America, you see it all throughout the Anglosphere. This self-silencing, deferring to politeness, when really assertiveness would be more appropriate. You know, this avoiding disagreement, avoiding anger. And look, you can go back and think about going all the way back to when you're a child. You know, the conflict resolution, you know, that whole generation of social engineering that began, I would say, post-boomer or peak boomer in the 70s and 80s, engineering your children to, you know, go through these overly complicated conflict resolution, you know, farcical diplomacy bullshit. You know, this eradication of bullying. You know, avoiding negative emotions at all costs. Beating you into submission so that you're more than willing to agree to unfair demands. Because you don't want to rock the boat. Being overly deferential. Now, eventually what happens, because a certain level of this, again, in a homogeneous society of other people who are just like this. Yeah, there's obviously a dark side to it, but no one's taking advantage because everyone's kind of a pussy. no one's walking all over you except for the state, which has its own problem. You know, that's an issue, but most people aren't taking advantage of you like you're a sucker because everyone else is just as much of a pussy. And so everyone's avoiding the truth. Avoiding the elephant in the room. But when you import a bunch of people who don't play by the same rules, eventually it takes a toll. Eventually it starts to build up resentment in a people. And eventually the only thing keeping them in check is the fear of repercussions. You know, it starts out maybe a fear of rejection, a fear of disapproval, disappointing someone. It almost feels like you are the better person because you're willing to make the sacrifice. You're willing to suffer in silence and be the bigger person to maintain this civility, this goo that's stuck to your fingers. But when you realize it's not being reciprocated, you know, this perception of taking the moral high ground, it kind of wears a little bit thin, doesn't it? Because now you start to feel like, no, you're the mark. You're the sucker. You see, it might not be obvious, but in a situation where everyone else is, again, avoiding the elephant in the room, there actually is a reward system for that. You do avoid some unpleasantness. Again, that causes other problems, but it's workable. There is no reward when you're the only one playing by these rules. You're the sucker. There's punishments, lots of punishments, but no rewards. And these cultural expectations that you have from your elders, from your peers, because of generations of this kind of behavior, well, those start to wear down as everyone else starts to feel like a fucking sucker. Unfortunately, a lot of people start to feel, you know, as they feel like a sucker, it almost feeds into it a little bit, right? Because it affects their self-image. They're the sucker. So it drives them to seek for, you know, even harder for approval from these people. These people taking it's like the Stockholm syndrome. You feel so abused by these people that you desperately want their approval. You see it in America. You see, this is where boomers essentially ejaculate when they encounter a based black guy. It's that validation they've always wanted. But look, you can only force people into stress positions for so long before they start to lose their shit. That resentment will build and build and build until it has nowhere else to go. That happy music starts to sound real artificial, doesn't it? Da 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 da.
My grandparents were married here in 1867, and six generations of my family have lived here, but now I'm being driven out. The local cemetery
when all my people are buried, all my family was used for gambling and drinking, and a lot of even the tombstones have been damaged. The one next to my mother's was. And there's gambling in the manor house grounds and in the park, something which was never allowed in Southall years ago.
Oh, great. So they're just shitting up the place. Imagine that. Look, they're feeding the fish. Right next to a sign that says, don't feed the fish. At least they're not shitting on the streets, though, right? We all know they're shitting on the streets. Ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba, diddle-dee-dee, dee-da-da-da.
Immigration, there are too many immigrants in Southall, and the government have taken very little action in easing the situation or directing that immigrants should be dispersed from this area. And the housing problem, of course, is terrific.
Ah, yes, the government, they're just not addressing it, because they're the ones doing it. It's like, instead of calling the police, you're calling the rapist's cell phone that's in his pocket as he's raping you. Going, I'm getting raped! It's like, yeah, really? Have you heard this song, though? It sounds very happy. That's my favorite. Look at the kid playing with trash. Oh, I can't figure out how this broom works. It's kind of nice.
My mother died a couple of years ago. I wouldn't have her buried in Southall because I hate the idea of an Indian temple being built over her grave in years to come.
Well, and look, that was 50 years ago, so really good chance that happened. But, you know.
And that's not misguided emotion, for Southall already has a large and flourishing Asian religious community with its own temples. So what of the future for the whites who are left?
Have we got
our only hope is to be able to get away from Southall, away from it all. Like everybody else, all our friends have gone. There's nothing left for English people in this town anymore. I would like to say this. My wife and I used to like to go out weekends down to the local, have a couple of drinks, meet friends in there. We can't go into the locals anymore. They're full up with noisy foreigners, and we don't like it.
We don't like it.
We haven't got a place left which we, the English people, can go and enjoy ourselves in this town.
After going through two world wars, we should at least have the dignity of being allowed to live with our own kind.
No, you should be. You should be. But there's another problem, too, and just the way she phrased that, we should be allowed, because she's asking for permission, and, you know, the powers, they're just saying no. You know, you might as well be a little kid saying, I should be allowed to stay up all night eating Oreo cookies. No. You don't get to. So really, what you're left with is, you have to leave. If you're unable to confront the problem, if you're unable to weather the conflict, the inevitable conflict, you have to leave. You have to leave. You have been conquered. You have been conquered, and if you can't fight off the conquerors, then yeah, you're a refugee. Another way to put it is you're a refugee.
Smethwick, just outside Birmingham. one of those places that look like the cornerstone of the Industrial Revolution. Here, in his home ground, meet local businessman John Wass.
About 10 years ago, I came into Smethwick to open this cutting tool business. And during this time, I have seen a great change take place in the population of this area. Because when we first came here, there were almost no coloured immigrants in the area. But it was a prosperous, white, working class area, and that unskilled and semi-skilled jobs were available. West Indians started to move in to take these jobs, and then we had the classic pattern that they have in the United States, where one coloured family moves into a street, the whites start to move out, more coloured immigrants come in to take their place, and over a period of the past 10 years, we've seen many of the streets around this area become predominantly black. But as these areas do become black, we get a situation where in more recent years, Asians have also moved in with the West Indians, and these Asians have opened shops, which in turn have taken trade away from the white-owned shops, which has resulted in many white-owned businesses closing down, and the place has either been taken with Asian traders of various sorts, or, as today in Handsworth Soho Road, you see many of these shops standing empty.
There you go. A lot of that's because of a lack of in-group preference. A lot of that's because the whites are on their own. They don't have their government on their side. They don't have community groups really on their side. And to the degree that they do collectivize, they're always shut down, usually by their own people, as we will see here in a moment. The people that do have the power to stop it are the people doing it to you. You know, we often will talk about, like, why don't we have our George Soros, right? Like, why isn't there a pro-white George Soros? Why isn't there a billionaire, like, well, I don't know, like Elon Musk, as an example, who's throwing money at this problem on the other end of it? But it's worse than that. It's people like Elon. It would be infinitely better if all he was doing was not throwing money at it. He's the one doing it to you. The white billionaires that you want to have on your side are doing it to you. People like Trump are doing it to you. And they've been doing it a long time. They've been doing it since World War II. All across the West. So using the same tactics, like I said, a lot of this, not only is it eerie because it sounds exactly like what's going on, or at least the conversations that are going on in America today, but it also sounds exactly like the post-World War II racial desegregation bullshit that was happening in America. You know, the busing and everything. All across the Anglosphere, you had this bullshit going on. Yeah, it's almost like we lost World War II.
The snag is, with these Asian traders, they don't make any genuine contribution to the community as a whole. Because the money that they earn from these businesses, in many cases, it's transmitted back to India and Pakistan and the like. This, of course, is bad from the country as a whole, since it upsets the balance of payments. And I understand that these remittances at the moment are running at the rate of about £40 million a year.
So, same thing, remittances, but also just the fact that they are taking advantage of, they're not just robbing you of your current neighborhoods. They're robbing you of generations. Generations of the proceeds of your ancestors' human capital. To put it in a way that I guess even the economically obsessed boomers would understand. Your nation is the output of your people going back as long as recorded history goes. There's a reason you can look at America or England or New Zealand or Australia or even, you know, Romania or Lithuania or Italy or, you know, anywhere where there's white people. And you can compare that to what you see when you go to a place anywhere in Africa where there's not white people. And while, you know, you'll have anthropologists tell you that the places in Africa are far, far older. Way more ancient. Human beings, as they say, as they define it, have inhabited those areas since the dawn of time. And yet, you wouldn't know it by looking at the environment, would you? It would seem there are no relics. There are no monuments. There are no two-story fucking buildings. There are no wheel. There's no literature. There's no written language. When these people come from their third world countries and come to your neighborhood, they are not just robbing you of your current environment, they're robbing your birthright right from out from under you. They are leapfrogging 50 fucking thousand years of evolution. And because they can't quite make the jump, they're grabbing you and dragging you to the bottom where they do land.
These colored people coming into the area are creating black ghettos, and this is affecting the whole of the urban area, including education and social services. For example, in this area today, it is difficult for a white woman to get a bed in a maternity hospital because these beds are now taken up by colored women. And I think this is particularly immoral, because it is the white community at large that have paid for these beds over the years by taxation, and particularly by their national health contributions. And when their wives now want the services of the maternity hospital, they find it is denied to them, and yet at the same time being given to coloured women who may only have just arrived in this country. The official reason given for this is that white women live in far better conditions than the coloured women, so that the white women can stay at home to have their children in sanitary conditions, where the coloured women cannot apparently stay at home to have their children in insanitary conditions.
See, it's your responsibility. If they can't be raised up to your level, and they can't, then you must be dragged down to theirs. It's like I've said a million times before, you can't even calculate it. We wouldn't just be on Mars. We'd be on fucking Jupiter. we would have cracked the code to be on Jupiter. If we didn't have to spend money on other races. Just think of the amount of money just in the United States. Think of the amount of money the United States has spent not just on incarcerating non-whites, not just on the policing of non-whites, not just the judicial system required for non-whites, the segregation, all of the education, all of the diversity training, all of the diversity hires, all of the lawsuits that have gone along. Like, just imagine the wealth that has just been sapped out of your fucking heritage. Just from having black people. Just one group. You can't even calculate it. You can't even calculate it. I might try someday, now that we have AI. I have to be very clever with the way that I word it for it to give me accurate numbers. But it'd be nice to maybe have a low estimate, because it's in the fucking trillions. And that's just the economic cost. You can't calculate what, you know, the whites that have been murdered, the contribution they might have had, gone. You'll never know what impact that has. The degradation of the culture. You'll never be able to calculate that. What kind of influence that's had on white behavior. You'll never be able to calculate just the time wasted in educating white people, because you have to lower the standards of education across the board in order to accommodate the non-whites. You can't calculate what the effects of that, the entire population of your nation lowering, dramatically lowering education standards to accommodate an incompatible group, or several, really, several incompatible groups. You'll never be able to calculate what was lost when you were giving people who were wildly unqualified to attend higher education, you were giving them those seats instead of the white people whose family for generations paid, often with their blood, so that those institutions could exist. You'll never be able to calculate the wound that's been inflicted.
The people of this country have got to make up its mind what sort of a country Britain is going to be in 100 years' time. If we allow the immigration to take place on the scale that it's taking place today, coupled with the birth rate of colours that's rapidly outstripping that of whites, then we're going to have a black state. The history of this country for the past 1,000 years has been one of repelling or preventing invasions of one sort and another. And yet here we have a situation where an unarmed invasion is taking place before our very eyes. And it's not outside the bounds of possibility that future generations will look back on the British of today like we look back on the ancient Egyptians.
Well, he said 100 years. It's already been half that. It's been over half that. And I don't think that it doesn't look as if they've changed course, does it? So maybe the other part of his prediction will come true also. Maybe it'll be like that meme, right? That meme with the rotting launch pad, you know, the space shuttle that's falling apart, covered in vines. The primitive caveman dark-skinned caveman looking up at it in wonder. In the same way, lots of people look at the pyramids in Egypt. How did they build that? What was it used for? And the greatest irony of all, the man most interested in space travel is front and center of the problem.
Bradford, the great wool town of the north. But it's a long time since the white rose flowered in these streets. It takes a lot to make Yorkshiremen march. In October 1972, they did.
I just want you to take note that this is exactly the same thing, that the same response that you had in the 70s. Immigration, no. Repatriation, yes. They're saying re-immigration now, basically. And they're carrying signs that look in greater numbers, and they're more explicit about it. How'd that work out in 1972? I want you to watch this montage. I'm a back it up. I want you to watch this montage. Realize this is 1972. Pay careful attention to the words they're using, the arguments that they're using. And then ask yourself, what was the end result? How did it work out?
Bradford, the great wool town of the north. But it's a long time since the white rose flowered in these streets. It takes a lot to make Yorkshiremen march. In October 1972, they did.
Right, well, we've come from Manchester to support this meeting because we want our country to be not have so many immigrants. We've no room, we've no jobs, and our poor lads are fighting in Ireland while our own country's being invaded.
I mean, the situation we've got now is that you can't find jobs, accommodation in your own towns. I don't come from Bradford. I'm here today to support the Bradford people because they've been left out. They don't get a say in what's going on. They're pushed up here. People are, the coloured people. They're put into an overcrowded situation and it's just leaving chaos behind. And we're going to try and salvage something from that.
Can't really accommodate them with jobs and houses when we need them ourselves. Help them by all means, you know, after we've helped ourselves, but...
And a lot of the factories down here, they're employing approximately 12 blacks to one white.
What's the problem? All right, I'm a Scotsman. I'm living in London. I've come all the way from London, but I'm a Britisher. And I am here, and I feel there is a great problem here in Bradford. I'm not a politician. I'm a working class man. I'm a member of the British public. I spent 11 and a half years in the British forces. I spent it in the Airborne and the SAS. And I'm here now marching for these people. Because to me, we have been sold out all the way along the line by Heath, Wilson and everybody else, and I am not a politician, and I don't want to be interested in politics, just a member of British politics, British public, that's all.
There's too many people in the country, yet they keep letting these immigrants in, knowing very well that the mass majority of the British people are against this immigration.
We've got enough in Bradford, let's keep them out. We've got enough here. We've got enough over here. We've already got unemployment around this area, and we ought to see them kept out, the rest of them. We can't stand so much, they've brought us too many over, and we are going to stand for it, we're going to fight against it.
No! A British working man. That's how I describe myself. A British working man. No less, and that's all. I'm just fed up and tired of being pushed from pillar to post. The British people can't get away in where the immigrants can. They get everything laid on the plate for them. They get money laid out for them just when they want it. And we get nothing. Sweet and simple, nothing. All I want is the best for my children and my family and my people. That's all I want. Just the best for my people and my country.
Same again. Let me pop up this graph. Those protests took place where that red line and that orange line intersect in the middle there. And yet, nothing changed. Nothing changed when you had more people, more support, and you weren't worried about going to jail because you said the wrong thing on social media. And in fact, the cops, to some degree, might have agreed with you. The general public, to some degree, supported this. The cops weren't going around arresting the people holding those signs like they would be today. So you had a bunch of different protests in this area going throughout the 70s. One famous one, I guess, that was considered like a turning point was called the Mangrove Nine. The Mangrove Nine, where you had a bunch of protesters coming from a lot of it, and look, a lot of lefty whites showed up too. A lot of lefty whites showed up. I'm sure a lot of fellow whites helped put this together. A lot of echoes of Antifa. Sounds very much like Antifa. Rioting because a black-owned business couldn't keep up with the health code, essentially. And so the cops kept shutting it down because there were like rats and shit all over the place. And they were, oh, it must be racist because blacks, because he was Caribbean, blacks can't be expected to live up to the health code.
Notting Hill Gate and North Kensington in the heart of London. Areas of trendy attraction and yet ghettos in embryo. This is Geoffrey Baber, local councillor.
The interesting thing about Notting Hill Gate and where it differs so much from the other main immigrant areas is that it doesn't have the real problems that other community areas such as Smethwick or Brixton have. Thanks to the borough's work, there's no more real housing problems or educational problems in Notting Hill Gate. However, Notting Hill Gate has for a long time been the real political focal centre for immigrant troubles and reaction. And this is largely centred around a restaurant in All Saints Road called the Mangrove. Now, the Mangrove restaurant has been seen by many immigrants as a focal point for black influence, black culture, and unfortunately, black power. The owner has tried to run it in a reasonable manner, but he is a weak man and has been able to be influenced by the anarchists in the Notting Hill Gate area, some of whom are white and a minority of whom are black.
It sounds a lot like the Democrats are the real racists. White Antifa, you guys remember that? White Antifa during the BLM riots. It's white Antifa. All the usual suspects, all the people that are very much. It's the same accounts, by the way, the same accounts on Twitter who are very much for the H-1B1 visas are the same ones that love to say white Antifa. White Antifa, they're taking advantage of all these poor, stupid fucking niggers. I mean, they might as well just say it that way. Oh, these fucking primitive retards that can't think for themselves. They're being attacked. It's like they... Oh, white Antifa is tricking them. Tricking them into rioting. I mean, they say the same. It's literally the same rhetoric. Because, like I said, I don't think it's so much a repeat or a rhyming of history. I just think it's just one long ass rape that hasn't finished yet.
It seems these people exploited the inability of the owner of the mangrove restaurant to keep in with the requirements of the borough and the police about hygiene and the normal management of a restaurant. And they've seen every attempt by the police to keep the running of the restaurant within the law as an attack on black people, or to use a common phrase, police harassment.
And again, it's even more ridiculous than George Floyd, but it's the same kind of a thing. Black people, not actually victims of anything. In this case, he just needs to live up to the fucking health code that everyone else has to live up to in order to run his restaurant. I mean, it's not even like I said, at least with George Floyd, someone had to die, you know? Like, even if he deserved it. Someone had to die. With this, it's like you just need to not have rats in the kitchen. With this, it's just like, have a clean restaurant. But that was too much. It was all racism. No one had to die. And they rioted.
As a consequence, following a police raid on the mangrove to investigate a licensing problem, the anarchists in the area organized a march to take place as a protest about this alleged police harassment. Thousands of people met outside the restaurant and marched through the area. The police asked the organizers of the march to let them know its route. The organizers refused. The march was deliberately led into a small street which contained a number of building skips full of broken bricks. Needless to say,
I couldn't help but notice goldsmiths. I don't know. Goldsmiths, huh? I don't know. Maybe that's I don't know. I don't know.
Bricks. Needless to say, at the first opportunity, the marchers threw the bricks at the police, and full-scale riot erupted. What is interesting about these photographs is that most of the marchers are white. In Councillor Baber's opinion, the area is a prime example of exploitation of a minority group by those who intend...
See, the blacks, they're the real victims. They're being exploited by the white Antifa. It's the same fucking retarded bullshit. It's the same fucking retarded bullshit. So anyway, you had this kind of riot shit going on as the demographics continued to shift. The mangrove thing, by the way, that was considered a turning point because all the people that were charged in this riot were let go. They were let go. They used what ended up being called the Black Power Defense, which was to not try to actually defend yourself and say you didn't do it, but to say, well, no, of course I did it because we were oppressed by Whitey. And they were let go. So this was kind of a cultural shift. You couldn't even hold non-whites to any kind of standard at that point, just like with the BLM riots. You had lots of involvement later on in the late 70s and early 80s with the National Front, which was kind of the response to this. You had some riots. One in particular was the National Front decided to hold a meeting in the town hall that was in the Southall. And the Pajits went wild and prevented them from entering the town hall building because, you know, they showed up in the thousands and rioted. I think a cop even got, I don't know if he got killed, but there was, either a cop got killed or severely injured. But this is from 1979.
Campaign meeting, it must be one of the biggest yet attended. 100 National Front supporters, 3,500 police, and thousands of Asian demonstrators. The troubles began early as many of Southall's 30,000 Asians, a fifth of the town's population, blocked off every road to the town hall.
National Front, bastard! National Front, bastard!
By now it was a town under siege. There was no access to the centre. Queues of policemen and police horses guarded each alleyway. Every shop was closed or boarded up. The demonstrators were told they had 1 minute to move off the streets or face arrest.
First of all, address them and tell them that if they are causing obstruction, and if they remain here, they're going to be liable to arrest.
See, look how much you've even lost there. Imagine the cops threatening to arrest Muslim protesters or just any non-white protesters. Doesn't happen. Doesn't fucking happen. Well, unless they're saying something about Jews, I guess, right?
So why are you sitting across the road like this?
We are complaining. We are protesting the National Front. Because the police, they protect to the National Front. This is the main reason. They unnecessarily arrested our men.
They refused to leave, and the police moved in.
Go, move along now.
Where are you, mate?
At the end of the day, there were more than 300 arrests and many were injured. Among those injured were several policemen.
Relax, Dennis.
The National Front was smuggled into the town hall through a back street. But no one, apart from the party faithful, were allowed inside with them. Keith Hatfield, News at 10, in Ealing.
But, you know, obviously, their political objectives were not met. Obviously, the National Front failed to even slow down the immigration that was turbocharged in Southall. This continued for a few more years. The Pajits burned down a pub because they allowed a skinhead band to play there. Again, you know, this is when you start after that trial that I mentioned before. They didn't really fear any kind of legal repercussions. In fact, during this riot here, I found I thought I had the clip here, but I think I forgot it there. I found a clip from this Indian channel that was bragging about these demonstrations because they said that they had arrested three of their guys, three of their organizers, and that they sat in front of the police station and demanded that they release those three people. And they wouldn't leave unless they released them. And they only had to wait 2 hours before the cops released them. 2 hours. But this became a battleground. There were riots that followed. This was in the 80s. Even though it's in black and white, I think it's a couple years later. And you had, you know, similar riots, similar confrontations. Boarding up shops, just like during the Black Lives Matter riots. Everybody, it's our strength. So what was the response from the your leaders? The white people that actually had power. The white people that you are told that you need to vote harder for. The white people who at the time were considered right wing, like Margaret Thatcher.
We must accept that the doctrines of the National Front are pernicious, they are provocative, they are too reminiscent of the Nazis to be comfortable for this country.
No one will deny
that when they talk about, first of all, excluding citizens of this country from the vote, and then secondly, sending them back where some of them came from, reminiscent of Hitler and the Jews. And I'm sure all parties would unite in condemning that and in deploring their policies.
We totally condemn the racial policies of the National Front, and we've no sympathy whatsoever with any extremist group. But the way to deal with them is by the ballot box and not by bricks or by bombs.
Vote harder, Goy. It's worked so far. Right? It worked back when you were still half of the population, so of course it'll work now that you're 5% of the population. You see, none of this is new. What we're experiencing now in the United States is just the newest chapter of the same fucking story. The same genocidal fucking story. Either white people have a right to exist or they don't. And your leaders are saying they don't. And it doesn't seem to matter what leaders you install using the mechanisms that they've given you. Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine your country actually just being a walled garden. A sandbox. You're allowed to play in the sandbox. Don't go outside the sandbox. Anyway, I just found it very interesting that, like I said, this is exactly, you're hearing the exact same arguments. I mean, literally the exact same arguments, worded the same way, about the exact same kind of a problem 50 fucking years ago that has just expanded to, I mean, it's the same, they call it Little India now. Southall is called Little India. Okay, so it didn't, it's not like, and then the normies woke up. See, that's all we need to do, right? We just need the normies to wake up. See, it took 50 years, but then the normies woke up. And then we all, you know, we got re-immigration trending on Twitter. You know, we got Elon Musk to stop talking about Indians and start talking about rape gangs and Tommy Robinson. We shifted the narrative. We moved the Overton window. Sure, it took 50 years, but now we're winning. Right? Aren't we winning? Keep hearing that we're winning. You know, this is South Hall today. You could have, I mean, I don't see how you, I mean, you could tell except for the architecture that you're not in India. You know, and the funny thing is, you look at a country like England or the United States, you look at these neighborhoods that were established and built up by white people, and you look at these neighborhoods now as they're inhabited by these non-whites, and you get a sense that something has degraded. Something has been lost. And it's funny because this is not a universal thing. It's not, you know, something seems like it's lost because you can tell that the people who created this built environment, right? The architecture, the layout of the city, you know, you can tell it's mismatched, right? Like the demographics don't quite match up with these little shops, these little, you know, some of these buildings are probably hundreds of years old, right? So you would think that, you know, the same would be, you'd have maybe a similar feeling when you looked at, say, footage of India when the whites were occupying India, right? You would think that you'd have the same sense of like, oh, this doesn't fit, that, you know, there's a loss here, right? Like all these white people walking around these really clean, beautifully designed, you know, streets. But it's the exact opposite. In fact, if anything, what you see, you have a sense of loss when you see these old buildings that the British Empire built in the colonies, in third world countries, when now that they're occupied by the native people. Like if anything is the same, you get the same sense of loss that you see while looking at this footage. Something's got to change. People need to stop being afraid of, well, really, I guess what it boils down to is, what are you willing to do? What price are you willing to pay? Do you really want it? Maybe they just want this more than you do. Isn't that usually who gets it? Whoever wants it more? I just think that it's hard to listen to people that think that, I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say it. You have to zoom out the graph. People really don't know their history. They don't understand that the situation that we're in right now didn't start in the 90s. It didn't start last week. It didn't start it didn't even start in the 70s. In the 70s, in this particular instance, it was already fucked. Whites were already outnumbered in the early 70s. And look, same is true in the 60s in America, in certain places, suburbs of LA, suburbs of Chicago, Detroit. This isn't like a new thing. This isn't a new problem. So not only are people ill-equipped to solve the problem because they just don't even understand the nature of the problem. They don't understand the history of the problem. But they're also damned to repeat the same mistakes of the people that before them that tried to solve it because they don't even know anyone ever tried to solve it in the first place. Using those same fucking arguments over and over and over again and getting the same results. at a certain point, you have to get over this conflict avoidance. You have to stop being polite. You have to wipe off this slimy civility. And stop thinking that you have to come up with some mental gymnastics that doesn't involve race. White people deserve white countries. But no one's going to give them to you. Like anything worth having, you have to fucking earn it. Or the people that want it more will take it. And yeah, it sucks because you can't rely on a ruling class. In fact, I mean, it's not even that you have a ruling class that's asleep at the wheel and doesn't know what's going on, or they're making mistakes because they're stupid. They're actively trying to fucking kill you. So act like it. Stop acting like, oh, they just don't get it. Oh, those politicians, they're fucking stupid. No, act like, no, they're trying to kill us. They want us dead. I don't know how clear do they have to be on this issue? You can't even get them to say the words white people. They can't even, of course, they're not going to say you have a right to exist. They can't even acknowledge that you do exist. So stop fucking voting for them. Stop acting like that. Any day now, the normies are going to wake up and that'll change things somehow. Because in the 1970s, all the normies were wide awake, and look how that worked out. In the 1960s in America, during the race riots, all the normies were wide fucking awake. And look how that worked out. All right. Anyway. I think I made my point. Let's take a look at Hyper Chat, see what you guys think of all this. All right, we got Chosen Jawa here says, new book recommendation, The Heirs of Abraham by Mark Time. It's $8 on Amazon. Given how effective it is improving awakening Zionist Christians to the JQ and the danger of Zionism, it probably won't be on Amazon long. It was published in 2024, and it is rich in theology, which combats Zionism. Well, there you go, for those of you interested in that. Sluthouse says, thanks for an informative and entertaining year. Excited for the next one, as am I. Then Sluthouse says, missed your Wednesday quote of the year that lives rent free in my head. He said, Negro the naughty way. I don't remember saying that, but I'm glad that tickled you. let's see here. Anton Ovay. Anton Ovay says, I've got some good stuff for you, Devin, enough for an entire stream, if you will. Check out Abraham Saffron and Luna Park Ghost Train Fire. Saffron was a Jewish mobster in Australia who had his eye on a property. Oh, hold on. It jumped there. On a property that an amusement park was built on. Make note on the crooked cop last name, Allen, and the judge named Murphy. Saffron burned kids alive for money. Just wanted to show that it's not only in the USA that Jews use these types of methods for wealth and power. The octopus is not a mythical creature. I, unlike ABC Australia, read between the lines. Saffron had a cousin named Goldstein working for him. He had a cop, last name Allen, on the payroll. I read between the lines. I've been awake a long time, back to before David Duke had plastic surgery, which probably I helped that asshole pay for. Well, I don't know. I like David Duke. I'll take a look at that. Let's see here. I'm adding that to my notes. There we go. But thank you very much, Anton Ovay. Hungry Howie. Hungry Howie says, Happy New Year, Devin. I shared your recent Neuralink electrocution meme around work, and it got a good response from everyone. Also, I love the Capitol Policeman screaming meme that you edited for the PatCon series, the one where there's a bunch of them screaming at the same time. Oh, yeah, which one is that one? Do I even have it here still? I don't think I have that one that you're talking about. But, didn't I make a button for that? I'm getting crushed. It's somewhere in here. I got way too many things right now. It's a mess. Yeah, I don't have it. I'm sure it's somewhere in here, but I don't have it right now.
Oh,
I know. All right. Let's see here. Anton Ovay again. So go check it out. The Abraham Saffron Burn. Oh wait, we already got that one. Simbi says, back in mid-November, I mentioned having an idea for an inverse Wolfenstein project. It's been progressing nicely since then. An artist from Slovenia is drawing the sprites, and I'm using 11 Labs AI for the voice acting. Now I wonder, would anyone from this community like to create a few maps? There you go. Everyone can contact Simbi if you would like to make some maps. Which I'm not sure how hard that would be. If you're using Wolfenstein type technology, my guess is there's map editors that exist, then it's probably not that hard. But I don't know what strategy you're using there. But good luck for that. Chosen Jawa says the Jews were so insufferable that Moses asked God to kill him. Numbers 11:14-15. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. There you go. Gorilla Hands!
2, 1.
Gorilla Hands, with the 24-hour news cycle and everything happening so crazy and fast, do you feel that we are in some sort of simulation? Similar to the Matrix. I personally don't believe in this to be true, but I would understand someone feeling this way. I was wondering what you thought of that. No, I don't think we're in a simulation, but I mean, there's no way to prove that you're not. Now, the simulation theory, of course, is impossible to disprove because the idea is that you wouldn't be able to discern the difference. And the idea is, of course, if you look at where, you know, video games from Pong to, you know, whatever the new video games are today, if you look at the progress in just a few decades on a long enough timeline, you would be able to create a virtual reality that you would not be able to differentiate from reality, especially if you were born in it. You wouldn't know the difference. So is it possible? I mean, anything. It's one of those, well, anything's possible kind of a things, but I don't actually think that. And to the extent, let's say it was true, well, at that point, it is reality then. It just means that reality is simulated, you know, but at that point, how is it not just reality? It's just reality, not the way we think of it, but it's still reality. You know what I mean? So it doesn't really matter to me. I don't think we're in a simulation, though. Watch the Collapse says, love you to Evan and to all my black-pilled friends listening. Hit the gym, eat healthy, tribe and train. Your descendants are counting on you. When your ancestors were across the Atlantic, assuming they'd die before they got any benefit, they were thinking of you. They were thinking of the future. Watch the Collapse says, t-shirt idea. I went to blackpill.com and all I got was a magic Negro and this lousy, retarded faggot. Well, there you go. Except for that, of course. Obviously, that shirt would not last long in any kind of store. And then we got Volga German. Volga German, who, simply says, let's see here. Do I have a button for that? I don't know. Sort of. This sort of
way. The magic Negro.
There we go. Snake Oil Politics also sort of says,
hey girl, you hungry?
Fuck you, nigga.
And Fashy Barbecue says,
fuck it!
Not so secret, sass. Devin, it has been a long time since I caught a live stream. I've been on the replay, gang. Amazing work on 25 edition. It's insane to see how rapidly shit has been rolling downhill. I love you and your work, and you put it, or the work you put in, to keep us well informed. Hail victory, and WP WordPress? Is that what you mean by that? Thank you, Not So Secret Sass. And yeah, things are accelerating for sure in terms of decline here stateside. You know, as much as some things haven't changed, some things have. Mr. Me with the big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. All right, Mr. Me says, Dave Vaughn, how would I go about finding an IRL community of white-minded folk in urban suburban areas? I'm stuck living in the DMV for 5 more years and want to build my community, and happy new year. Honestly, for me, I would just do it IRL the whole time. I don't think it's that hard these days, honestly, to find, I mean, I don't know what your personal environment's like, in terms of work and stuff like that, but I would work on just finding people who are already near you. And, now don't do it backwards. I think people get caught up in it backwards, where they've tried to find people who are already red pilled or however you want it, black pilled, and then meet up. And it's like, well, I mean, why don't you just find people who are already in your environment and try to black pill them and do it that way. And preferably start with family members, because blood's thicker than water, and people are always worried about feds and all this other shit. Well, I mean, that's another reason why you'd want to start with people that you already know and family members. So that would be my advice. And there's other people that would say, you know, there's active clubs and stuff like that, and I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that. I think trying to avoid IRL stuff out of fear of feds is dumb unless you plan on doing something illegal. You know, like that's the only time you have to worry about shit. If you're stupid and you do something IRL and the guy who may or may not be a fed says, hey, let's go blow this up, and you're like, okay, yeah, you'll get in trouble. So just don't do that. If someone says, hey, let's blow this up, just be like, all right, I gotta go. Yeah, I don't know what's so hard about that. People act like they'll entrap you, they'll trick you. No, the people that the FBI have entrapped have done things, right? you know, you can say, like, well, the FBI tricked them into accepting the bomb and driving it to the mosque or, you know, whatever the fuck, right? It's like, yeah, but they still did it. You know, just don't do that. Like, if someone walks up to you and they're like, oh, hey, I have a good idea. Let's blow this up or kidnap this person. Just be like, eh, no thanks. You know, well, it's so, I don't know why that's so hard. Real easy to not get busted when you do that. Blue cord. Good evening, Mr. Stack. Replay gang checking in. Thank you. And I skipped one. Thank you also, Blue Court. But I accidentally skipped Justin Sama. Justin Sama says, hi, Devin. First time catch you live since I got to know you on No More News. Been going over your video since, and I thought it was hard to watch new or old movies, series, but now it's just unbearable. One thing is for sure is that I no longer want to go back to the 90s. Keep up the good work. Well, see, we're making some progress. Look, we don't want to go back to the 90s when this problem was much older than that. Much older than that. You know, tonight we're talking about fucking 50 years ago, and it's literally exactly the same as today. They've been trying to kill us a long time. We're just, I guess if there's a silver lining, apparently we're hard to kill because it's taken a while. But yeah, well, welcome to the insomnia stream. Lucky Larry Silverstein says, I was in the Navy many years ago, and in our history book, I noticed that John McCain dropped bombs on the deck to cause the USS Forrestal disaster. Now I've noticed the system has redacted that. They now say it was from an uncaused fire that happened for no reason. It was John McCain. Don't you all forget. No, John McCain fucked up, but his daddy bailed him out on that one. I don't think he did it intentionally. I think he just was a fuck-up. Yeah, with a powerful dad. Pebble in the pond. Pebble in the pond, keep up the great work. Happy New Year. Well, I appreciate that. Ohio! Ohio, it's blank, I think. At least I don't see anything. It's like a weird blocky. When I highlight it, it doesn't bring anything up, so. Secret code from Ohio. Not so secret. Sass says, love the natural, healthy kind is indeed what makes the world go round and is the most beautiful, holy miracle we ever see here on this earth. But without a deadly hate of that which threatens what we love, love is an empty word, a catchword for hippies, queers, and cowards. George Lincoln Rockwell. Well, that is the truth. Wise words from a wise man. Love and division.
Hello, I'm Amy. Good, Amy.
The first problematic immigrants in Britain were the Jews. No self-respecting nation can let Jews in until the Western nations rid themselves of all their Jews. They cannot address their immigrant problems. The Jews control the immigration policies. Well, and it's a problem England has had a long time. If you saw the Jack the Ripper episode. Well, and the Rothschilds, obviously. That's kind of a big thing, right? Glock 23 says, if only the British knew they helped defeat the good guys for the Jews. And that's why their country is flooded with the third world invaders now raping their kids. It's too bad Churchill can't see merry old England now that he caused. Well, and one might even say that he intentionally did that. I think it's ironic that Elon Musk would somehow advocate for a policy for weeks And then his shiny object that he would wave in front of everyone to great effect would be the results of said policy. Oh, yeah, let's let in all these third worlders. It's going to be great for business. They might rape your kids, though. It's like, all right, thanks, I guess. But, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the normies can't, you know, they can't do the math. They're like, oh, he's based now. He's based. He likes Tommy Robinson. Burr. All right. Ryan with a big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is.
I'll have a bitch.
All right. Thank you very much, Ryan. Sebastian says, Happy New Year, Devin. I recently played a black-pilled video for my mother when she came to visit me. She asked me why you sounded so angry. I'm not that mad. Do I sound... I was a little angry tonight. Anyways, it got me thinking that women hear how the message is said and men listen to what is said. She did find the denial edition I showed her months ago. I watched before you link fag me. It'll make you laugh. I don't know. Mystery YouTube link. I don't know. I'll tell you what. I don't know. All right, I'll click it. Am I going to regret this? A minute long. We don't have time for this shit. I can't play this. We'll play up like, I mean, not because it's bad and I can't play. I can't play because I don't have the ability to play it right now. But I won't link fag you. Maybe I'll check it out for next time. Alrighty. And tell your mom to chill out. Bessemer72 says, Hey Devin, growing up, two books really impacted me. A Wrinkle in Time, and 1984. I read them over and over, thinking about ways to make sure they never happened. Did these impact you, or what books really affected you? I think DOTR would fit into this category, too. Same impact. Love you, kiddo. Wrinkle in Time, I feel like I read that when I was really young. Like, isn't there like a centaur in there or something like that? Like, I mean, I was really young when I read that. Let me look this up. I was a early reader, and I had an older brother that was a reader, and as like a way of trying to compete with him, I would try to read what he was reading. I wouldn't always understand it very well, but I would still read it. Like, I would physically read the book, but the problem was I'd be like in second grade and he's in sixth grade, right? So like I remember, like, the first time I read The Hobbit, I think I was like in second grade or something like that, and it didn't, like, I couldn't follow it, as especially because of how, you know, it's poetically written. I couldn't follow it as well as my brother, obviously, who was much older, and I had to read it again before I knew what the hell, like, before I really understood the story. And I feel like this was one of those books that I read because he was reading. Because I only remember not much about it, actually. I remember the book cover more than anything else. Yeah, as far as books that influenced me, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I mostly read fiction that wasn't too deep, to be honest. Like, you know, there wasn't like some, oh, this is... You know, this really shaped my worldview. I don't think I really had books like that so much. I mean, maybe I mean, you kind of put me on the spot. I'm sure I'll think of something, but I can't think of anything right off the top of my head. Serbian Bull. All right, we already did that one. Man of Low Moral Fiber. Oh, wait, Sebastian. I mixed you up with Serbian Bull. I thought that was part two. I saw the S. You're actually two different people. Okay. Well, there we go. Serbian Bull is the one that sent me the YouTube link, not Sebastian. Man of low moral fiber says, for whatever it's worth, one anecdote I have about Browns attending school is that in New Mexico, anyone with a like F plus average gets the lottery scholarship to go to an in-state university. So a very large percentage, very likely most of the Brown kids at college in New Mexico are illiterate. I got even a scarier thing for you for New Mexico. In New Mexico, 60% of high school graduates can't pass the GED. 60%. I'll give another. This is, you want an anecdote, speaking of anecdotes. When I moved there, I'd never studied New Mexico, anything, right? And they had the competency exam, and part of it was like New Mexico history. And I was like, oh, fuck. Well, I never studied New Mexico history. I'm not from here. And you could just infer what the answer, it was multiple choice. And you knew what the answer was because it was so obvious. Like every question, it was like, you know, New Mexico was originally settled by A, the Spaniards, B, the Martians, C, Mickey Mouse, or D, nobody. And it was like, oh, well, you know, that's not, no, obviously A. And so, but I remember I took that test and aced that section, and it was just like, holy shit. I mean, the education level across the board in New Mexico is, well, for the reasons we discussed tonight, you have to lower the standards of the white kids because they are in New Mexico. You were going to school with a lot of Native Americans who are really low IQ and Mexicans who were, you know, subpar. And so, like, I moved there from California, which even though it was more diverse, I was in a gate school, so a little different. And so I was like, in, you know, like a curriculum that was maybe unconventional, but it wasn't totally stupid. And I stopped learning immediately upon entering the state of New Mexico. So yeah, New Mexico is that's how everywhere is, I would imagine today. Bofity says, "What up, Dev? For years now, they've been building 5,000 square foot tract homes near me. Nice looking neighborhoods. I own a pool service and recently got some clients in those places. And to my surprise, it is nothing but Pajits." Well, of course. "These aren't cheap homes either. Where do they get their money from?" Well, because they get the H-1B-1 visa jobs. They are hiring. This is what I was telling you guys years ago when I lived on the East Coast. My friend encountered this same thing around Northern Virginia, which is like a little mini Silicon Valley in its own way. And all of the model homes at all of the new developments were catered towards Indian buyers because everyone that was buying homes, or at least enough to where the home builders were catering to Indian buyers, you know, they were Indians. And that's what it was. It was big companies like Oracle that have these big government contracts that would just hire Indians because... Yeah, you could say, well, these aren't cheap homes or whatever. Yeah, they're not. These aren't cheap jobs either. Some of them are. Like, I think people are making a mistake by trying to make... You see some people on Twitter saying, well, look, how come this $50,000 a year job, that's not the best and brightest. Why did you need the H-1B visa for this guy? And, yeah, I get it, but whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. They shouldn't be here. It doesn't matter. They could be fucking a million IQ. They could be like the smartest fucking Pajit who ever lived. I don't want them here. That's not the point, right? We want white countries for white people. It doesn't matter if they would make it better in some economic way or some academic way or, you know, whatever. You know, like, that shouldn't even be a metric that fucking matters. That's like saying you're going to trade in your kid because some Indian kid scored higher on their math test. You know, you don't fucking do that. You don't fucking do that. But our ruling class does, unfortunately. And so, again, the contract's been broken. The social contract's been broken. You holding up your end independent of them holding up theirs is retarded, I think. Grenade says, have you heard about the recent 8.7 million year old fossil found in Turkey? This pretty much disproved the out of Africa Jewish theory and implies that Europe was settled millions of years ago. So it is not 50,000 years that separate us from them. It's more like 5 million. Yeah, I mean, I don't know all the anthropological data, but I mean, it's at least, when I throw out the number 50,000, I'm not trying to be on the nose with that number. I'm just saying, like, it's at least that. Like, people need to realize that what separates sub-Saharan Africans and Western Europeans is not something that you can quickly fix. It's not just some environmental issue that if you resolve, they will suddenly be at your level. You know, I mean, I guess you could say it's environmental if by environmental you mean environmental for thousands of years, or in your, as you're saying, millions even. But it kind of, you know, I'm not trying to get like an exact number. I'm just making the point that this is not, even if it was only 4,000, you want to wait 4,000, you want to damn your descendants for 4,000 years for this problem to resolve itself? You want to wait that long? Why? Like, what's the point of that? Now, even because I presume that if it took 5,000 or 4,000 or 1,000 years for our differences to emerge, it would take that for our differences to disappear. And I don't want to damn even one generation of white children to this experiment, this meaningless experiment that has no benefit to you. It only has benefits for people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Well, and Jonathan Greenblatt. Grenade says, budget deficits are driven by non-whites taking in more than they chip in. If you total up all the deficits since 1965, plus all the money stolen by Jews in financial crisis, the sum would be more than enough to finance Project Starshot, a feasible project to send probes to Alpha Proxima. Well, yeah, we'd be able to, like, there's so many, I don't even like making the financial argument, but like, there's so many financial losses. Diversity is just, it's just bleeding you of, diversity is never a benefit to us. It's never, you can just, all you have to do is, what direction is it happening? The immigration, what direction is it happening? Okay, well then now you know who it's benefiting, right? Like, it's called white flight. White people are leaving the diversity, and the diversity is coming to white neighborhoods. That tells you everything, that's all the math you need to figure out. Obviously, it does not benefit us, and never has, and never will. Man of low moral fiber says, I think the George Floyd thing is a good litmus test to see if someone is completely controlled. Anyone who is even a fraction of a free thinker can admit that George Floyd overdosed. Well, and that he was just a fucking scumbag anyway. And then you say, these Indians are visibly stinky, even over half a century later. Yeah, there is there's some revulsion that takes place when you look at some of this footage, isn't there? There we go. The Black Robin says, hi, Devin. It wouldn't hurt to do a deep dive on the sad situation of New Zealand. It's become a lawless shithole due to ever-growing Pacific Island gangs living in Auckland for 10 years. I saw some terrible things. If you think blacks are violent, wait until you read about the New Zealand natives. I've heard bad things, definitely. Guitar Dude 1356 says, there have been a lot of Asians calling out Indians and Jews recently. The reason is that we assimilate best of all minority groups. We change our names, adopt Christianity, speak English well, and intermarry with whites more than any other group. Chinese also literally built the West Coast, well, big disagree on that. Chinese built some of the railroads to the West Coast. Part two, I hate the low IQ Pajits who don't assimilate and have contributed nothing to the country's history, are also called Asian in the U.S. Chinese Americans in particular have way more claim to this country than any street shooter. Well, Chinese have been in the United States for a while, and calling them Asian is just what British people do when they're talking about anyone from the continent of Asia. Which Indians are technically. My lying eyes. I never donated to Devin. Make up for it. Project 2025, Nuke Mexico, he says. All right. Judy Stroyer says, hi, Devin. Happy New Year. This is why kindness is being pushed so hard in school curriculums now. They are countering any ideas of us rising up over this issue and the trans global homo degeneracy also. Got to keep lubing up our kindness coding. Yeah, they've been going full on, make everyone a get along little pussy since I've been alive. I can only imagine what it's like now. My lying eyes says, FYI, rosemary on steak is fucking amazing. Who knew? I don't think I've ever had rosemary on steak. You know what I almost did? I almost invested in one of these because they got cheap. But then I thought it's too much work. These, what's it called? Like sous vide? It's where you like, this is why it's too much work. You get the steak and you put it in like a vacuum bag in like a water tank. And you drop this sous vide machine into the water tank. And then you cook the steak over like a long period of time, like a matter of hours, because it has like this precise temperature system. I don't pretend to understand all of it. And then after it's broken down the fats and it turns like the meat into like this real tender, perfectly cooked meat, this is why it's too much work. You cut it out of the vacuum bag and then you sear it on either side so that it doesn't seem like it's cooked in a bag, I guess. And then it's supposed to be amazing. I've never had it. But I almost bought one of these little stupid machines. And I was like, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to take the time to do all that. I'm just going to fucking cook my meat. Friendly Neighborhood Fascist says, at least they aren't speaking German. Enoch Powell warned of rivers of blood. Seems inevitable at this point. The future is bright. We'll see. Yeah, I'll tell you what, in this little doco, they bring up Enoch Powell, but I was never able to find the audio for the last part of it. The last part of it, the audio is all fucked up, so I don't know what they were saying about him. Tony Ravioli says, great stream tonight. IRL activism is the only way forward. Side note, I was reading about Patriot Front today and found 500 pages of investigations on different members for protesting. Won't bother with a link since I'm not gay. Boomers will still call them feds regardless of the blatant harassment. Well, that's because boomers are the kings of voting or vooting. They'll never lift a finger. They don't care. As long as everything holds together for a few more years, that's all they need. They just need to ride it out for a few more years, and then it's our problem. Well, it's already our problem, but you know what I mean. Zazzy McTazbot says, thanks for the show. Would you please do a deep dive on AIDS and the involvement of everyone's favorite totally not a Jew doctor, Fauci? Also expose the lies they told us, like normal teenage virgins are just as likely to get AIDS as a gay porn star in San Francisco. Yeah, that was a big thing that they were like, oh yeah, look, I remember there was an after school special at one point where like, oh, he got it from a blood transfusion. This high school kid. I don't know, maybe. You know, I've thought about it before. Friendly Neighborhood Fascist says, the last episode of the last season of Black Mirror is set in 1979 England, all about a Paki woman needing to kill white people. specifically the National Front leader, to prevent the end of the world. The end of the world framed as preferable to a racist future. Yes. Yeah, well, one man's utopia, right? Man of low moral fiber says, it frustrates me that the cops had to throw out plenty of arrests using bait cars, trucks for blacks foolish enough to try to loot them. After pressure from Jews, systemic racism. But then the Jewish DOD is entrapping similarly stupid white men and then burying them in federal charges. Not the DOD, I think you mean the DOJ, but yes. Well, and the DOD's literally burying white people, like in a grave. Amos Burton says, some of Hitler's speeches being translated to English with AI on YouTube getting a lot of views. It's amazing how reasonable he sounded. But the best part is the literal flood of comments with people agreeing with him and understanding why his speeches never had subtitles. People are waking up. I found instances where the subtitles were lies. Chosen Jawa says, Deuteronomy chapter 28, written in 700 BC, accurately predicts the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Interestingly, verses 65 through 67 predicts that Jews would forever be a diaspora. It describes how that because of their evil ways, chaos would follow them wherever they go. Are we surprised? Well, it sounds like you subscribe, at least to some extent, to the revolutionary spirit theory. A man of low moral fiber says, on the subject of Indians, have you ever seen the phenomenon they call bulldozer justice? They had a political leader who was bulldozing the homes of criminals and opposition. Indians have a strange obsession with crushing deep in their souls, causing their reverence for cows and elephants. Also echoing a grids stream, Cover the Gift, a document about the butt flu. In total sincerity, I watched this video when I was still younger and more sensitive, and it literally made me throw up because it was so disgusting and depraved. I'm not sure what you mean by that. The Gift? I don't know what that is. I'll add that to my notes, though. And then we'll take a look at Rumble. See how Rumble's doing. All right, Rumble. Got to rewind the entire history of your chat with Rumble. Because Rumble sucks. At least with... It sucks how it does this. Uncle Ted 88 says, replay gang. Thanks, Devin, for all the hard work waking our people up. Well, I appreciate that. And... we'll scroll down a while. I'll keep scrolling. There we go. Unreconstructed Rebel... Unreconstructed Rebel says, great stream as always, Devin. Cheers. Well, I appreciate that. And then Unreconstructed Rebel again.
$1 million.
With a big dono. Obligatory Southern Pride worldwide. Well, thank you, Unreconstructed Rebel. And, yeah, really appreciate the support as always. And yes, definitely Southern Pride worldwide. Yeah, the English could use a little Southern Pride, right? Southall, it's called after all, right? Unreconstructed Rebel again. I feel bad for the Secret Service agent who has to carry doggy bags 24/7 for Vance's kids. Ba-dum-psh. I guess we can give a womp, right? All right. Scroll down some more. And some more. And some more. That's made me want s'mores. I'm saying s'mores. You know, I haven't had a s'more since I was like a Boy Scout, I don't think. Cypher says, book recommendation, A History of Central Banking and the Enslavement of Mankind. Excellent book on the history of money and usury. I think I have a copy of that book, actually. Wasn't the guy that wrote that, didn't he die of like stomach cancer or something like that fairly young? I think that's the book that I'm thinking of. And then Cypher says, Devin, I was looking for the Don't Waco Me Bro stream, and it was gone from Odyssey and Rumble. Someone re-uploaded it on Rumble for you on another account. Are you sure it's called something else? Like, isn't it called Jamaico Edition? I don't know, and maybe they took it down, but I think it's called Jamaico or something Edition. But it should still be there. And then Cypher again. Devin, what are your views on active clubs? They seem like a safer avenue than Patriot Front to start organizing young white men. Like I said, obviously proceed with caution as you would with anything IRL. And like we've already talked about in terms of if any, at the first hint of someone trying to do some IRL Fed post, and you get the fuck out of there. Look, people don't realize this. Look, in America, I can understand if you're not in America, maybe it's a different story. In America, you can have militias, and people did. And in fact, the only thing that changed that was the Oklahoma City bombing. We had fucking hardcore militias up until that, and then they passed a bunch of laws, not about, you know, being allowed to have militias, but about surveillance and things like that. But people used to Fed post IRL. The reason why boomers Fed post IRL is they grew up in an environment where you could do that, and people did do that. They weren't in a surveillance state like we are now. So you just have to be smarter about it. You have to realize that any communications are probably being listened to. So don't talk about doing illegal shit and you'll be fine. Like, what are they going to do? Oh, you're under arrest. Why? For lifting weights. You know, like, what are they going to do? Even if there are feds in your group, like, what are they doing exactly? Right? Like, I don't know I honestly don't get what the big fear is. I don't understand. Like, what exactly? Because you have to be precise. What exactly are you afraid of? Because if you're afraid of going to jail, don't do things that'll put you in jail. If you're afraid of getting your name on a list, guess what, buddy? You think they need you to show up somewhere? I mean, that's harder for them to do. It's harder for them to get your name on a list when you show up somewhere IRL than it is for them to just look at your account information on social media. You know, like, Palantir already has, you're already doxxed. Like, you're already doxxed. You know, like, anything that allows a Fed to stay at home or work remotely to do his job, that's way easier. And they have the tools to do it. It's harder for them to go show up to your, like, weightlifting club or whatever the fuck and then, like, try to trick you into, like, you know, what exactly, you know what I mean? Like, if they don't say, hey, let's do this illegal shit, who cares if they're a Fed? Maybe you'll blackpill them, you know? I'm probably not, but you know what I mean? Like, what's the big deal? I don't understand. Like, the only time it's going to be a problem is if you agree to do something stupid, which a lot of people do, you know, and that's who gets busted. So just don't do that. And just be aware. Just be aware that pretty much anyone you talk to could be a Fed. And you know, that's all it takes. All right, we got Negro Spritzer, who of course expresses his chronic displeasure of all things non-white.
Hey, girl, you hungry?
Fuck you, nigga.
And we got Cypher again.
When you're trying to save money, a good rule to follow is to... Don't
Take it from me, Jim Neighbors. It'll pay dividends.
Okay, now, the way you asked this could be misinterpreted, Cypher, so I'm going to reword what you're asking. You're asking if perhaps people need to be subjected to some kind of hardship or difficult environment in order to keep an edge to them and to avoid becoming soft. And I would say absolutely that's true. That is part of that slime of civility, that nerfy coating that all the white people in the Anglosphere have. I mean, look, that it's inevitable. When you stomp all over the fucking world and own it for over a century, you know, like when you everywhere you go, you're like centuries ahead technologically and everything else. Everywhere you go, and so you just sort of like, you know, you kind of, you know, it was a mistake, but you kind of take advantage of everything and you know, to some degree, you know, like you know, stomp all over everything and take what you want. You know, I think that's kind of biting us in the ass now, but like, when you view all other peoples as primitive, I think you underestimate the threat that they pose. And the people back home, they are enjoying the, especially over the last, since post-World War II, they're enjoying the relative peace that we've enjoyed in the last several decades. And, yeah, it's made people soft. It's made people soft. And that is a big part of what's going on. Cypher again. Devin, Stephen Mitford Goodson supposedly died. That sounds like a serial killer name. Stephen Mitford Goodson. Supposedly died of a heart attack at home in 2018. I don't know who that is. Who is this? This is the author of the book you're talking. Okay. I made this mistake. I think you've recommend this before, and I made the same mistake. Yeah, it's a different author then. I was thinking of, there's this guy that wrote about the Federal Reserve or something. I have some banking book where the author died, like, in his 30s of stomach cancer. So, yeah, I've made this mistake before. But, yeah, I'll add that to my book list there. All right, going back to Odyssey real quick. We got Man of Low Moral Fiber says, sorry, The Gift 2003 is the documentary about bug chasers, people looking to acquire HIV. GRIDS is what AIDS used to be called. And then we got The Screen Age says, I'm still on this Israel did 9/11 thing. Throw it into everyday conversation. Well, if you can convince people of that, then that would certainly shift their opinion of Israel, I would think, right? Judy Stroyer says, Pakis are very inbred. Incest is a big part of their culture. They have very disabled children as a result who need a lot of care and special education. That's another big cost on our societies. Yeah, something crazy like, I'm thinking about Indians, a shocking number of them are raped by family members by age 12, or, you know, the women. Hate Commander says, glad the Wednesday shows are back on. Well, as am I. And then we got 1488 says, Odyssey is a blockchain, so everyone's comments are permanent. Somehow everyone's afraid of the Fed. Overlook shit like this. The comments can be looked up after the fact at any time. Something to think about. Yeah, just any electronic communications whatsoever. It doesn't have to be blockchain. Just assume that they have access to that and they know who's saying it. That's all. I've said that since I've been doing. I assume that right when I talk to you guys, that there's that they're keeping track of what I'm saying online. And they're keeping track of what everyone's saying online. And it's not even just federal governments. It's private organizations, you know, that are doing the same thing. So just No, never assume that any kind of communications are private, unfortunately, unless they are in person and you 1,000% know that the other person that you're talking to is, if it's like your brother or something like that, you know. Again, blood is thicker than water. So, all right, guys, with that, I'm going to bid you all a good evening. Appreciate you guys coming out here, of course, for this. We got one more. One more here at the end. My cute little friend says, if only we could delete India, metaphorically, of course, right, from the earth. Well, I don't know. Then they would all, they'd have nowhere to live. They'd have nowhere to live. They got to have a place to be. If we just left them alone, they would have deleted themselves through disease and everything else. All right, we got one more. Chosen Jawa says, H.R. 8445. This is a bill that was introduced several months ago to Congress and has not passed yet, but it would guarantee military benefits to U.S. citizens who enlist to serve in the IDF, all paid for by U.S. tax dollars. Of course, they are so desperate for war that it's unreal. I remember them talking about that. And I wouldn't, you know, like if you're one of these senators, I would imagine many of them will still vote for it. All right, we got another one here. Art Stanton, of all the faggots defending H-1B visas, the grossest is Scott Adams. He said countless times on his podcast that he's been passed over for promotion in the corporate world for being a white male. Yeah, well, I don't understand his cuckery sometimes. I think that it's anyone who makes as much money as he does and chooses to live in Napa Valley, or at least that's the area, right, that he lives in, doesn't he? That says a lot. You know, like, don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful area, but I mean, I'd want to kill someone at least 3 or 4 times a day, and or at least anytime I went out in public, right? I'd just be like, because I've lived in that area and it's fucking horrific. It's like everyone you meet, you hate them all, or at least a good portion of them. And for him to want to live there when he has the resources to live anywhere in the world. Yeah, look, maybe he's just one of these guys where he just wants to let it burn. Or maybe he genuinely doesn't see race. You know, maybe the can't teach an old dog new tricks, as they say. All right, guys. Well, with that, I'm going to bid you all good evening. For Blackpilled, I am, of course, Devin Stack.
Do you want something on how many people have been loved? Don't lay your hand on me, Miss Hunters. I'll break your fucking jaw.
Yes, I am a racist, and why? Who's made me a racist? This government, the Conservatives, and every sturdy, stinking cancer who sticks up for the nigger. And I'll stand by my words, because I don't like these people, never will do.